Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams. This is episode 64, featuring Johnny Hawkins of Nothing More, talking about how he developed his Spirits personality test, which you can take over at spiritstest.com. If you'd like to see a lot of the visuals that accompany the test and its evolution, you can check out the episode on YouTube at Side Jams with Brian Reisman. The show is now available in both audio and video formats.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Jacoby from Papa Roach, and you are tuned in to Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
Hey, everybody. Brian Reisman with Side Jams. Our guest today, the very energetic and often angst-ridden frontman of Nothing More, Johnny Hawkins.
Angst-ridden, yeah. Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, which is interesting, too, because, I mean, I like a lot of your lyrics. I mean, it was interesting to me on the last album, which is when I discovered you guys, not knowing you'd been around since 2003, so that's actually that's a much lengthier period of time, but it sort of makes sense. It's all gestated and come together, but like a lot of personal lyrics, that then a song like Go to War really was, ended up tapping into the political zeitgeist probably more than you might have anticipated at the time. And the new album also has songs about sort of, they feel like current events, but not necessarily really just about current events, just about the general state of humanity, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, a lot of the songs on that album felt like 2 years too early. We should have released that album later, because it really did seem to unfold to be a lot more relevant a few years after that album came out. But yeah, we always kind of keep our finger on the pulse of what's going on socio-politically. I don't know if that's the right way to say that, but you know what I mean. You know,
But not overtly politically, though, which is interesting.
Correct. Yeah. We do not like to get into, you know, we're not like a Rage Against the Machine where their whole thing is built around a political perspective or ideology. We're individuals in a collective band and we all think differently. You know, we unify on our passion for music and human emotion, but our points of view are very different because we're very different people. And we respect that by trying to make it more about the questions that we ask as a band rather than the answers that we try to shove down people's throats, you know?
Well, what we're going to talk about today, of course, is your spirit test. I printed out the black and white version of this anyway. I took it earlier, you know, but I decided I would – I was thinking, you know, you encourage – obviously the spirit test is – well, actually, give us the Cliff Notes or Johnny Notes version of how the spirit test came to be and how this is different than the other tests you've quoted. I mean, you've talked about the Myers-Briggs test, the Big Five, Carl Jung. How did this all start?
You know, we've always been a band that liked to go deep on things, from the concepts in our music to the concepts of the album to kind of the cryptic iconography and symbology we've had in our artwork for the past few albums. And that all kind of just started growing organically because we always liked bands like Tool and, you know, progressive bands in the past, like Dream Theater, that had, you know, that deeper element to what they did, Pink Floyd, you know, stuff like that. So we always had a progressive side, but we never wanted to be, you know, what's the word? Like, kind of keep the average listener out, because a lot of progressive music's almost too challenging for the average listener to get into. We wanted to be more progressive with our thoughts than just the sound of the band. So I personally have always been deeply interested in the human psyche and how people relate to each other and how they relate to themselves. And that's always kind of organically come out in the lyrics. And over time, those concepts started manifesting into these almost like these spirits that I kind of started outlining of just studying myself even. And I found this artist, Micah Ulrich, who's kind of a gothic hand-drawn artist who brought these ideas to life. And I saw his work on Instagram, and I was like, I got to work with this guy because this really taps into this very the word isn't primitive because it feels medieval, you know, but it is like these aspects of our own humanity that just make sense on a subconscious level when you look at some of the images. You know, you don't really understand it consciously when you see it, but something resonates with it, our own mortality and how we navigate this life. And that's why I love artwork like that. And so I started tying together his artwork and ideas with the things I had been developing on my own. And then our designer, who does a lot of our merch and album art and stuff, Clint, he actually lives down the street from me a few doors. I went over to his place and I was like, dude, check out this collaboration I'm doing with Micah. Can you bring it all together? And he brought it together and really made it all pop and look right and also look like our own, you know, art. And that kind of sparked the concept and the artwork for this next album. And the song Spirits, of the lyrical content in that, all just tied together. And it was clear once all that happened, oh, this is what the concept of this album is going to be. And that led to me developing this Spirits test, which I had been working on for a few years, kind of in the background. I was really bored on tours when we were in Europe, back when we were like, you know, playing crappy bars and making no money and were staying in hostels or hotels that were just bottom of the barrel. And all I had was my laptop. And so I had a lot of time to kill, stuck in a lot of transit. And I started just kind of going down this path, literally with a spreadsheet. I started inputting like formulas into a spreadsheet to start creating my own questions and seeing how I could deviate my own, you know, psyche. Cause, at the time I was struggling with some personal decisions and in that process that's kind of where all this started growing.
By the way, I decided to wear my Doctor Strange shirt. I thought that might be relatively appropriate.
Nice. There. Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting. This shirt is going to stand up if it reads Doctor Strange in one way, but when you read it the other way, reverse, this thing is a Sorcerer Supreme, which is hard to figure out.
Oh, wow.
You have to look it up online, but it's a little trippy.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I don't know what the kind of typography that is, that they can manage to reverse the words within the actual.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because, cool. I mean, you've talked about the fact that there's Myers-Briggs, there's the Big Five, there's Carl Jung. On the other side is the Zodiac, which kind of ties into tarot cards, I think.
Nice.
Thing.
Nice.
My friend Cynthia Von Bueller actually did the Shakespeare Oracle, which is kind of cool.
Oh, wow. That's this interesting. Whole
thing. I hadn't looked at it in a while, so if you won't hate me for saying that, but it's like, you know, things like, I mean, these are kind of cool little cards.
I haven't seen those, actually. Oh, that's dope.
But interesting, the death card. So, you know, the death card, what drives me nuts with things like the death card, you know, is like, in horror movies, it's always death. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's transition. And, you know, so like, you're trying to do here is kind of go between sort of what you've talked about, the sexy mystical side of it with more like the hardline dry science side of it. What are the differences with like Myers-Briggs and the Big Five and Carl Jung? What did you find for people who don't know much about those tests? How would you break it down?
Yeah, the best way I like to think of it is like when you look at the different types of maps of terrain, for example. Okay. Let's say you're just looking at a map of San Antonio, Texas, right? And you have the map that looks at the elevations in the landscape. And you have a map that... Right. And you have a map that's focused on the roads, you know, and how you can get through traffic, like the one on your phone. And then you have the maps that's focused on what differentiates the bodies of water from areas that are wooded and areas that are barren. And all they are maps looking at different aspects of the terrain. Right. So in the same way, what I've noticed with these different personality assessments is that they just have a different lens and they're kind of looking at some things that are similar, some things that are different. And so I just kind of took what I learned from you know, a lot of the ones that I had done personally in the past and other things I'd studied, and I noticed that they overlapped in some ways, and in other ways they kind of had their own little nuances that were unique. I mean, Carl Jung, I feel like only have scratched the surface with him, because you can go super deep with some of his concepts and
the shadow self and stuff like that.
Yeah, he just had such a unique way of unpacking like the human psyche that I don't even feel adept enough to unpack it in language. If you look at some of the things that Jordan Peterson, he's part of the Big Five project. He said some things about Carl Jung that really makes it make sense without having to dive deep on your own and do all the deep, hard reading. But really, I was trying to kind of distill all that into something simpler, because you can get lost in the weeds with it. I mean, there's so many ways you can unpack this. And so I decided to kind of simplify it. Originally, the test was like almost 100 questions. It was just unbearable. You couldn't...
Your test.
Yeah. It was just too complicated. And because I was taking too many elements. So I had to, over the course of a year, just really shed the skin on it and dial it down to like, what are the really important ones that really translate into things that I could talk about in someone's, you know, character. You know, you, when you see like the, what do you call like these zodiac kind of readings, if you will, or the whatever for the day for a Scorpio or something, it's like a lot of times these things are just worded in a way that applies to almost everyone. I mean, you know, and people just take it personally, and that's kind of the power. It's almost like song lyrics, where you have a specificity enough to where it's like, oh, that's from that person's heart and soul, but it's vague enough in the way that you word it that it applies to them as well. And they can, so there's some element of that into all these things, but on the scientific side, they can get so much more specific and predictive, I feel like. And so I just say, I'm so interested by the middle ground between those two. And that's a lot of what this thing's about.
Now, the Big Five, I saw a chart. It says there's five different personality traits, right, for the Big Five?
Yes. And of each of those, I believe there's two, what do they call them? They're called like sub-components or sub-traits or something.
What I've looked up here on the Big Five personality test is that, for example, there are statements like your test, like, I have a kind word for everyone, I'm always prepared, and it starts in a neutral, anywhere from inaccurate to neutral to accurate.
Right.
And yours is sort of disagree up to -3, neutral, then agree up to positive, up to 3, positive 3. But then it creates... I guess there are five factors of personality: are openness, consciousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism.
Yes. Yeah. And
that's another one with like dozens of questions.
Like those big five, like if you look at agreeableness, like one of those five you just mentioned, underneath that category, there's two subcategories that they have. One is compassion and one is politeness. So they view those as separate things, but together they contribute to the one of the big five, which is agreeableness, right? How agreeable you are. That was a big one actually that I adopted in my test, was agreeableness.
Yes.
You know, how likely are you to engage in conflict or avoid it? You know, cause some people, and there's not a right or wrong answer, in some situations, avoiding conflict is more efficient. It's more harmonious and you get better things out of it. And then in other situations, being someone who's disagreeable gets you better results. And most people just, you know, with my test, it's not about which one you are in like a concrete sense, because we have, we all have both. It's just which one of these you tend to lean towards more often than not.
Now, obviously with this, as I printed out before, with this particular mix, this is all very kind of dark and gothic. So it's just sort of like it's like eight death cards.
yeah.
But so what made you choose this visual aesthetic? And then how is this test, how for you, how is this test different than the other ones that we've been talking about?
So the visual aesthetic is very inspired by Carl Jung's idea of the archetypes. And I felt like these kind of, like you said, gothic or medieval artwork, it feels very archetypal in the sense that it's keyed in on mortality. Whenever you see like skeletons or bones,
right,
there's kind of this long history as humans of tapping into our awareness of our own mortality, which is what makes us unique, you know, as creatures on this planet. And I think that it has a much more, it puts it all into a context of something that's much bigger than you, in the sense that you're living your life, but there are billions of lives that have been lived before you. And it's humbling and also overwhelming at the same time to really absorb that concept. But when you do, it puts your life into kind of this bigger story that you're a player in, or an actor on the stage of the world, this drama that we're living out called life. And so it kind of felt in line with that way of thinking. And also, I just really liked the artwork when I saw Micah Ulrich's work. I just, something about it resonated. And then your second question, you were saying like, what makes it different than these other tests? What the biggest difference is kind of the layout of the test. You know, like I was saying earlier, that how Myers-Briggs did it was this four letter kind of binary for each letter analysis. And in the big five, they're focusing on these big five traits, and they're more of a percentage based system on that. And then, you know, obviously the Zodiac is just when you're born. And there's a few others, like there's like the color system and these other ones that they do stuff similar, but mine is more of a chart. So there's four quadrants, and this is what makes it unique, is I tapped into some of the kind of the, you know, alchemy, you know, alchemical kind of ways of thinking, where they had different elements. In mine, as you can see at the bottom left, there's the matter quadrant, which is denoted by the open circle. And then in the top left, there's the moon, which is the symbol for ether. And to the right, you see at top right is the light, which looks like a sun. And then the bottom right there is time, which looks like a bunch of, you know, circles nested within each other. Because time is cyclical, you know. A lot of people think of time as linear, like a past and a future. But in the world of psyche and archetypes that I'm talking about, time is more cyclical. It's actually, there are these time periods and these phases of your life that occur. And then when you live another life, there's another cycle. And so these four quadrants, my test focuses on narrowing you down to one of the four that you most often reside in.
Right.
And of those four, there's two types in each of the four quadrants. And those two types are an outward type or an inner type. And that's what I was talking about earlier, using the binary questions, which determine which of the two in that quadrant that you are. And to give you an example, an outward type is typically someone who's more aggressive, a little more reactive, a little more active, a little more extroverted, a little more disagreeable. You know, if you could think of a hot energy and a cool energy, they would be the hot energy. And then the inner type is more like the cool energy. You know, they are more passive, they're more agreeable, they're more focused on finding the harmonious solution, the win-win, less focused on dominance as a form of interacting with others. You know, they're not as focused on using power, they're more focused on using harmony. And and so it's those kinds of things.
I ended up getting Fuse, the lightning catchers, and it says these spirit types are wholehearted in everything they go after. Their connection to goodness is what allows them to be so free-spirited when they are engaged in what they love. Their energy is infectious, but also easy to manipulate and cage. They oscillate between flying free and shackling themselves to others' expectations. They have the power to spark new things into existence as long as they surround themselves with those who can turn that spark into fire. That was pretty good. You know, because I'm definitely someone, I mean, I've been freelancing now for over 25 years, and I work at home, and like I tend to surround myself with artists, actually. You know, not so much lawyers, bankers, doctor types, but really like I have a lot of artists around me. What did it also say? I mean, the element was ether, perception, heart, energy, outward. Light side is optimistic, amenable, resilient. Shadow side, there we go with Jung. Short-sighted, vice, blame shifting. Ooh, vice. You know, it's interesting. I think it's, I mean, there's some questions I almost thought, should I be doing it to this degree? Is it, should be plus two or plus three or negative two or negative one? And so it's interesting if I took it again, what I might get.
Yeah, and at the start of the test, in the introduction, there's kind of a suggestion to take it more than once on different days, you know, when you're just kind of in a different state of mind. And you know, ideally, not everybody has the time or the focus, but if you take it like three times, you know, you get the best of three. Most people so far have been getting the same one each time, which is really great news. It means that it's working and it's predictable. But some people would oscillate between two types and they were right on the border, you know, so they were just
interesting,
super close that every time they took it, they were two types that were right next to each other. So that happens too. And
what did you get?
I got true. So I'm the true type. I'm in the light quadrant and, it's an outward energy and, yeah, the true is so you're in the ether quadrant as a fuse,
right?
And the ether quadrant is basically the creative quadrant for the heart types. So you're one of the two big determining factors is if you're heart dominant or head dominant, and of course we have both. All of us use both, but if you're a fuse type, you're heart dominant, and then of the two heart dominants, you're either in the matter quadrant or the ether quadrant. And matter is much more of the pragmatic, practical, traditional, taking the path that's already been paved, you know, just kind of that type. And the ether is a little more excited by creative things and new ways of doing things and, you know, a little more outside of the box for the heart types.
Okay.
A little more creative. A lot of artists are getting the fuse type is what I'm noticing.
It makes sense.
yeah. And the shadow side, you know, a lot of times when people read these, it's, you know, they'll see the shadow side and they're like, oh God, I don't know if that's me, or they see the light side. It, again, it's not necessarily that you've manifested those qualities, but what it's showing is that the dysfunctional version of that type, you know, when they're in a toxic arrangement or relationship or something that's like not good and puts them into their shadow side, that's typically how it manifests itself more often than not.
What did your bandmates get? Did they get different ones?
Yeah. So Mark and Dan, guitar player and the bass player, they both got fuse. So just like you, and totally made sense for them after I imagine Mark might, but Dan, I wasn't so sure about. So I was kind of surprised by his, but then as time went on, I was like, that actually kind of makes sense. And then our drummer got constant, which, ironically, you know, he's the one keeping time in the band and, you know, keeping the tempo.
And personality wise also?
Yes. He's the most robotic in the band. You know, he's the, hyper logical. Like his girlfriend basically says, you know, you're like a robot. You know, she loves him to death, but it's funny because she's way more heart. And it makes total sense because he's in the constant is in the time quadrant, and the time quadrant are filled with people who are typically like scientists and people who are maybe accountants, you know, people who are just like hyper data, just all about data. thinking in the future and in the past, constantly projecting. They're not someone that's going to break out on the dance floor. They're someone who's going to make a calculation and decide what to do, you know, next week.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they're in the time quadrant. And the people like me, I'm in the light quadrant. It's more of the types that are basically in between the ether types and the time types. Like, it's like I can relate to my drummer. I was a drummer myself, so I think very logically. Yeah. But I also have the ether side that's way more creative spark and, you know, interested in language and stuff like that. So it pulls me out of that time quadrant, and I'm not hyper analytical like a scientist would be.
So have you tried this in some of your rock star friends, this particular test?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, I have. You know, Chris Daughtry.
Yeah.
You know, he was a Fuse like you as well. You actually are in good company. I mean, Maria Brink from In This Moment, she was a Fuse. Yeah. Ivan Moody from Five Finger Death Punch, he was a Fuse as well. Let me see, who else was a Fuse? Who's that? The radio DJs at Sirius XM Octane, like three of them were Fuses. So some of the people there.
That's cool.
List here. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I'm going to try to get more people in our industry to take it. But I got a wide variety, yeah, of different types.
Those and did we talk about there's, you know, in terms of understanding the chart, you basically have four elements, four perceptions, the dualities, and the four paths.
Yeah.
So how do those mix together in your test?
Yeah. So the
we talked about the four elements already.
Yeah. So we kind of touched on the four elements. I'm just going to pull it up on my phone so I have. So sometimes when I'm looking at it visually, it helps to, like, for me to organize my thoughts. But where is
yeah.
it? Understanding the chart. Yeah, so on the Spirits Test website, you can click on Understanding the Chart. And what you were just referencing is here. And it has the icons all laid out. We touched on the four elements, which is basically the four quadrants. And then the four perceptions. If you look at the chart here, I wish I had a little fancier way to share my image here, but this is a,
okay.
As you can see, there's a heart right there. There's an eye right there, which stands for sight. There's a skull right there that stands for head. And right here at the bottom, there is a wave that stands for sound. So it's heart, head, sight, and sound. And just like the four elements determine which quadrant you're in. These are actually determining like the X and Y chart, you know, like in math class growing up when you had the X and Y charts. And it just determines, you know, between some of the questions are aimed at if you're head dominant or heart dominant. Do you process an event or a situation that arises? Do you process it in your heart first and then think about what you're going to do? Or do you process it? Do you have a buffer where you are more thinking in your head and you don't really feel anything until later? I'm more head dominant person. So I don't feel a lot of things till later. It's like because it all kind of starts here first. Whereas heart dominant people usually feel first and then think next and organize what they're going to do with that feeling. Right. And then the sight and sound, which is the top and the bottom in the middle there, that's really just determining, basically like, sound, you know, you can't really see sound, right? You hear it. It's so much more of a gut thing when you hear like a loud sound, right? It's the fastest of your senses. It goes straight to your brainstem. I mean, if an explosion happens, I don't think about it. I just pop up out of my chair, right? Yeah. Whereas sight, it's so much more clear and high resolution, but it goes through different parts of our brain. Like it goes through the higher parts in a lot of ways, you know, and is processed in different ways before it hits the deeper parts. So sound is kind of this metaphorical image in this test for like your gut, kind of your primal instincts. And the eye is more metaphorical for vision. Literally, like when you say someone's a visionary, they have a vision in their mind first, and then they follow that vision. That's why the light quadrant is up there. You know, a lot of people in the light quadrant, like myself, are oftentimes the visionaries in their company or their band, or, you know, they usually have the idea to in their mind before they chase it. Whereas the gut types, the sound types, when you go lower on the chart, are people who are much more going by instinct. They're going one step at a time and dealing with information as it comes, rather than having this grand vision and seeing it in their mind first. Okay. So that's kind of what's going on there. And then when you, after that, there's the dualities, which we talked about this basically, right? The dualities there. It's either the outward energy type or the inward energy type, which is denoted by the kind of a null set and a triangle. We talked a little bit about that, kind of the more aggressive type versus the more harmonious type. And then there's the light side and the shadow side. And the light side and the shadow side's not really a part of the test. It's just a part of the results, saying that these are qualities that you'll tend to manifest when you're really, when things are working and you're positive and you're really aligned. That's the light side. When you're in a toxic situation, things are not aligned, you're resorting to fearful responses and fear and a fearful look at yourself. That's the shadow side. Those are the things you kind of manifest. And then the four paths is really just that's kind of the categories of the questions that I kind of came up with. That's really what kind of you asked earlier, what makes this test different than the others. That's the biggest part of the four paths. It's just the categories that I narrowed down to in analyzing what types of questions to ask the person and what, you know. And so the four paths, basically to sum it up, it's mode is the category of how you process the world. It's what mode you're in, how you process things. And then vantage is how you observe the world, not how you process it, but how you observe before you even process it, right? Yeah. So it's like the difference between the camera on this laptop and the motherboard. The camera is how you observe. It's the lens.
Yeah.
You know? And mode is how you process. It's like the motherboard, right? And then the next one is ethos, which is how you imagine the world. So has nothing to do with your observation of the world, and it doesn't have to do with your processing of that observation. It has to do with your imagination, which is unbounded by those two.
Okay.
It's its own category. And then the last one is spirit, which is how you contend in the world. So all of those things together, you know, the lens, the motherboard, the wild card, which is the imagination, it's what path of survival you tend to take based on all that information, you know, people's, how they contend in the world. So, you know, like when you look at the animal kingdom, you see some animals just found a way to survive by eating the scraps from these other animals, or some animals found a way to survive by going up into the trees and they found out how to live there. And some animals dig holes and they found out how to live there. And so it's just like that. It's how do you as a human survive the world and the human world? You know, how do you contend?
So how many hours do you think you spent making this test?
Oh, man. In some form, you know, over a few years, I'd say a few hundred hours, but it was very spread out over a few years because my main focus was the music, obviously, and touring. So it was really kind of a passion project on the side.
Right on.
After our main conversation about the spirit's personality test, Johnny and I delved into discussing the paranormal and dreams. I thought the following story about a surreal dream he had about his grandfather was worth sharing here at the end.
So yeah, I got a quick story for you in regards to dreams. So we're talking about dreams. I've documented quite a few standout moments I've had with dreams throughout my life, just so I wouldn't forget them. And one that has always stuck with me that was one of the most strange of all of them. Eventually, I'm going to write a book one day with just all of these written out. But my grandfather and my dad were going to go with me to like a ranch the next day, and we were celebrating my granddad's birthday. It was the first time we've actually done something together, my dad and my granddad, since I was a kid. And my granddad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's later, but he'd never had any problems, no episodes, nothing. There was no way you could tell he had Alzheimer's to any of us. Well, the night before we went to all meet up at this ranch, I was in bed with my ex at the time, and I went to sleep. I woke up in my dream, and this is somewhere around 3 in the morning. And I woke up in the same place. My ex was right next to me in the bed, except all the lights were on. And I was like, that's weird. I thought we turned the lights off like when we went to bed. And my dad walks into the room, and my granddad and a few people from that side of the family. And basically I go, what are they doing in my room? And then my ex, she sits up and she goes, what are you saying? Like, kind of tired. And I go, what are they doing in our room? Why are the lights on? She goes, what are you saying? And she looked concerned now. And I go, I said, why are they in our room? And she goes, what are you saying? What are you saying? Like, and I was like, and then I started like panicking because I'm like, why is she panicking? You know, why can't she understand what I'm saying? And then boom, I woke up again, same spot, just like the first dream. Lights on in the room. And this time I wake her up and I go, I had the strangest dream. My dad and my granddad were in our room and I was talking to you and you couldn't understand me. And she wakes up and she goes, what are you saying? And I go, can you seriously not understand me? And I go, they walked in, and then my dad and my granddad walk into the room again with everyone on my dad's side of the family, my cousins, my aunts and uncles, all on my dad's side. And they all come in and they start crowding around the bed. And I go, what are they doing in the room? And she goes, what are you saying? What are you saying? And then the whole family on my dad's side, they looked at me like zombies. And they're like, what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? What? And then, you know, it escalated into this like freaky horror kind of thing. And they just came in like almost caving in around me. And I was like, why can't y'all understand me? You know, and I wake up a third time. This time the lights are off. And it's the real world. You know, it's not a dream anymore. Yeah. I wake up Jesse, who was my ex at the time, and I go, oh, I'm like sweating and breathing heavy. I'm like, you never will believe what I just dreamt. And so I told her, and she goes, that's crazy. And she went back to bed, you know. I got a phone call in the morning, that morning. Again, to this point, my granddad had never had any Alzheimer incidents or anything. My grandmother said, we're going to have to postpone the hangout. Because granddad woke up last night, late into the night. I had to call your father to come over, and I was afraid for my life. He freaked out and he was yelling gibberish. I could not understand what he was saying. And it was the weirdest, like, I got a shiver, I got chills, and I said, when did this happen? She was like, yeah, around 3 in the morning or whatever. And when I had woke up, that was like, you know, what time it was. And anyway, I really think that there's like ways that you're connected to people through almost like a web, you know, like a spider's web when a fly flies into it and it wiggles and the spider feels the wiggle. There's some kind of a invisible connection that translates information. And I think sometimes your dreams, if you're aware of them, they take that information and they make these weird little projections. So that was one of those instances where I was like, this is weird. There's something to this. Like, Very strange.
Well, listen, man, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.